we're hearing about the 8 to 9 hub cities that are being considered, the NHL trying to obviously find, like everybody else right now, a safe way to return. What have you heard, Elliot, and what is the most realistic scenario that you could foresee at this point?
Well, thanks, Eric. I appreciate it. Hope your families are good, too. You and Gordy, we're all good here. You know, the thing is, I hate to guess on any one particular thing and say this is what's going to happen, because I think it almost changes on a day-to-day basis. I think the biggest question right now, Eric, is, you know, what's the status of the Canadian border going to be when they're ready to try and play? Because, you know, I think they'd like to have some of the hubs, whether it's 2 hubs or it's 4. And I think they've discussed both. I think they'd like to have at least half of them in Canada. If they have 2, I think they'd like to have 1 in Canada. If they have 4, I think they'd like to have 2 in Canada, possibly. And one of the issues is that, for example, let's say for argument's sake, you're a U.S.-based team and you go to your city for a training camp, and then your hub is in Canada here. Then you're going to have to quarantine and wait 2 weeks before you can play. And I think everybody understands why that's the case, but I don't think they want to waste 2 weeks. I don't think the players who could be isolated from their families are that interested in, say, okay, let's cross the border, then we wait 2 weeks before we can play a game. And I think the NHL, knowing that there's a kind of compressed amount of time that they have to play, is also concerned about 2 weeks where you can't do anything. So I really think, Eric, that one of the biggest questions is at what point, and I don't think we know the answer right now, that quarantine is going to go away at the border, because if it doesn't by when they want to play, which is going to be some, when they want to at least try to play, which is going to be late July, early August, I think they've got to know, are they going to have to have, they're going to have that 14 days here. So that's one of the biggest questions.
And the other part, Friege, is as we sort of figure this out, like, and you've done it better than anybody, or as good as anybody, Eddie, on an ongoing basis. So, okay, it's one thing about getting quarantined before you start, but then at the last round, one team would have to move, or at least one team or 2 teams would have to move to another hub. Now, if they're crossing the border, theoretically, they'd have to wait 2 weeks before you began the conference final or Stanley Cup final or whatever. So I got to think, to your point, they've got to have a good feeling that the quarantine won't be applicable, whether it's August, September, or whatever, that's something they're researching.
I would agree that that's the case. And look, I think they've been in touch with the Canadian government. I think they've been in touch with the U.S. government. I think they are aware of what kind of is going on. And my sense is right now, they just don't know, you know, when the quarantine is going to be over. And I think you're absolutely right, Gordy, because at some point, whether you do it at the semifinals or you do it at the final, someone's going to have to cross the border again. And if it's 14 days, that's going to make it untenable. You're correct.
Elliot, let me ask you this, and not to belabor the point here, but it's a different case, obviously, in baseball and basketball with only one Canadian franchise, with the Jays and the Raptors. And at least as far as it pertains to the Raptors, my understanding is there are only 5 or 6 players that are still in Toronto. The rest are in the United States. There are a couple of coaches that are still on this side of the border, and certainly a lot of front office and team staff. But, you know, I would argue roughly 75% of those that ultimately matter are already in the U.S. Would it not be easier to simply just say we're only playing in the U.S.? And I acknowledge from an NHL standpoint, clearly the passion for the sport is on this side more so than in most pockets in the U.S., but would that not just alleviate all of these issues we're talking about, whether it be 14-day quarantine, whether it be, as Gordy says, having to worry about one, you know, team from one hub playing another team from another hub, and maybe one's in the U.S. versus Canada? Would it not just kind of resolve everything and saying, sorry, even though Canada's passionate about hockey and there are more fans here, we are doing everything stateside?
It could get to that, Eric, but, you know, as I'm sure you'll realize, being somebody in the media, people don't always react very well to that kind of information. So, you know, I think we could get to that point eventually. I think if there's an issue where they want to start trying to play, and like I said, I think it's most likely if we have games, we're talking late July or August. That's what my, just looking at the calendar, that's kind of what I see. I think we could get to the point where they say, look, it's U.S. only. But I don't think it's what they want. You know, also don't forget, the costs of this are going to be huge. You know, for the amount of testing they're talking about and the cost of these tests, it's really expensive. And if they could play a couple games, a couple hubs or one hub in Canada where the U.S., their Canadian dollar is at 70 cents right now, that's not an insignificant factor too. So between that and the fact I think they want to play here, I think that's an absolute last case scenario. But Eric, it's possible. It could very well happen. You're right. There's also the other issue here of getting guys back from Europe. And how easy is that going to be or not be? So all of these things are being juggled at all the time, at all times.
You know, Elliot, when you, Eric, myself, we played on that slow pitch team together for so many years, we were ahead of the curve about having no fans.
That's right. We were used to playing in front of no fans. And we know what it's like to celebrate a championship in front of no fans,
That's
too.
It. That's right. That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
But you know what, Gordy? I got to tell you, the chicken wings after the game, that has to be there. Like, whoever wins the Stanley Cup this year in front of no fans, they've got to make sure there's beer and chicken wings, or else it's just not worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, are you hearing any, like, I hear rumblings in every league. Baseball is obviously the most obvious about, because they have more challenges regarding the players than only half a season. Is a plan in place that the players are on side, or is there a significant amount of kickback?
I hear a lot of different things. I'll tell you this, Gordy. I think one of the biggest headaches the NHL appears to have erased is those seven teams being out of the playoffs. Like, I had heard that on those, because right now we're talking the most likely scenario, though it's not guaranteed, is a 2014 playoff, right? And those seven teams that are going to be out, I had heard that there was just, if you were to take a vote on those seven teams to play, it would have been overwhelming not to play. So I think they've tipped the field now that there's more players who much rather want to play and compete for the Stanley Cup than would. Like, we had Jake Allen on our Ask 31. He plays for the Blues. He said, we really want to play. I think that the biggest issues I think they have now, number one is it safe? Like, that obviously hugely is the big issue. Time away from the families is a big issue. Can the two sides agree on a playoff format? They're talking a lot, but I still think there are some disagreements. I don't necessarily think they're huge or unsolvable, but I think there's disagreements over the bye teams, disagreements about whether Montreal and Chicago should get in, although it sounds like that's going to happen. I think there's disagreements over how to start the playoffs. I think they're trying to solve that in terms of the bye teams, but I think those things can be worked on. I think the one thing is, and I think that that's another factor now is, and, you know, I don't think anybody wants to hear anything about economic arguments or salaries at this particular point in time. Like, we're all going through this. We're all facing concerns. You know, I do think that, you know, there's the way the NHL CBA is set up, the players are going to get hit for huge escrow next year. And I think some of them are like, if we're going to come back and play this year, I hope there's an economic benefit to it, especially if we're going to be coming, risking our health. And I think that conversation, they're trying to keep it out of the public. Like, you guys saw the reaction to Blake Snell when he was really blunt about it in baseball last week. I think they're trying to keep that conversation out of the public. But Gordon, Eric, I think it's there.
Speaking of Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, and Elliot, on that very topic that we're just discussing, within the last 45 minutes to an hour, Associated Press has a story out. Corey Snyder, of course, goalie for the New Jersey Devils, he's their player rep as well, their union rep, saying that some of he and his teammates, or at least his teammates, have expressed some apprehension about the NHL restarting. And this is a direct quote from Schneider saying he thinks that it's everyone's concern right now. It's a lot of guys asking, is there a drop dead date? what's that date, and is it too late that you can actually get some sort of a semblance to a season or a playoff? And he later goes on to talk about the fact that there is concern, at least for the Devils, their last place in their division. Is it worth us to spend 5-6 weeks to do something that ultimately won't matter? So I guess you're kind of playing that right now, Elliot, right? You're trying to figure out how to come back, what way to come back, how many teams to come back with. As we said, those seven teams, are they on the outside looking in or not? But then on top of that, I got to imagine, too, it's not just players' concerns about coming back. Is it worth it? But there's got to be a lot of players, not just hockey players, baseball, you know, hockey, football, whatever it may be, that are also concerned from a safety standpoint, from a health standpoint, that are they being pressured to come back, or do they even want to come back right now if they don't feel it's safe for them to do so?
Well, I think there's certainly guys who feel that way. I have no doubt about it. I mean, you know, like, hey, Eric, Gordy, like, if, you know, if there's games starting up soon, we're all going to be asked to go back to work, and who knows what the situations are going to be, right? You know, Eric, if the Raptors come back, I'm assuming no media is going to be in the building or very little, but, you know, Eric, you're part of the broadcast team that's directly there. I don't know what your situation is going to be, but we're all going to have to make a decision. And the players are no different than we are. We're all going to have to make decisions. And, you know, but they're going to be competing. They're going to be in a really tight atmosphere. It's much difficult. It's much more tight space, obviously, for them than it is for us. You know, I think that New Jersey, in their particular case, I don't think they're going to play. Like, New Jersey would be one of those teams that would be out. And I think that that's a reason that New Jersey is going to be out. They're a team that isn't in the playoff situation. And I think they're just saying, you know what, those are the teams that probably should be clear. But I think there's even players that would play that are asking the same kinds of questions. And absolutely, I feel that's first and foremost on everybody's mind. I don't understand why it wouldn't be. You've got friends, you've got family. There's still so much we don't know about this condition, what it does to your body. There's going to be a second wave coming at such a point. Like, I'm on record, Eric. If anybody player comes out and says, look, I'm not comfortable playing, or anybody says I'm not comfortable working, you know, I don't know how anybody can criticize that. There's a lot we still don't know.
Jersey's out, and a big reason because of their goaltending, but that's another story. But
you should should tweet that out, Gordy, over the story.
No, I won't, because
we just did.
I respect his opinion. It's just interesting. He's a guy that's one of the reasons they struggled this year about that. And yeah, I think it's understood that they won't come back and play meaningless games in particular. I think as well, though, Elliot, we're talking earlier with Eric, that you're looking at, we're coming back to a society that there will be no vaccine. I mean, mm-hmm. You look at right away anyway. Now, all of a sudden today, you got Andrew Cuomo saying, I want to see the Buffalo Bills play. Dow Jones mm-hmm. went up almost 1,000 points today. I mean, talk mm-hmm. of, and maybe part of it is that there was a promising initial vaccine test with 8 subjects is one thing out there. Who knows? We're so inundated with information that way. And it's just, you know, trying to create this perfect world is, never mind in sports, but just in general, it's going to be so difficult. And I guess that's what everyone grapples with, is about what are the appropriate steps to take and what aren't, you know?
Oh, I totally understand. Like, you know, like, uncertainty frightens people, Gordy. Like, I get that. You know, people, this is a huge challenge. Look, whether you've been touched by it medically, whether it's you or your family, and I hope not for everybody out there, or you're facing financial challenges or the emotional challenge of, you know, the fact that it's healthier for us to stay socially apart and distance from each other. This is an enormous thing for everybody out there, and everybody handles it differently. And everybody, and it impacts everybody differently. And that's why I said earlier, Gordy, that, you know, like, if a player comes out and says, look, I'm not comfortable playing and I'm not going to play, I mean, it's not the same thing as a guy in the playoffs who's got the knee injury and the shoulder injury and the rib injury, and they fight their way through it. Like, this is something that is much different. And I won't have any problem with any player who says, in any sport, who says, I'm not comfortable with this. I won't have any problem. Like, I'll go back to work. But if one of my coworkers on the show says, you know, I'm not comfortable, I'm not coming back to work, I'm not going to have a problem with that. I think we've all got to be understanding that everybody's going to handle this differently. And I think we have to respect each other's decisions. And that's the way I look at it. Just because I make a choice doesn't mean the choice is the same for somebody else. And I'm not going to knock anyone who says yes or no about working and about the conditions they want to work in, because we're all being affected differently. And, you know, we have to respect each other's decisions.
Elliot, I wholeheartedly agree with everything you just said, completely. However, do we know?
I knew there was a butt coming here.
Well,
I knew.
Well,
it's like a marriage.
To me, yeah, that's probably why you knew it was coming.
However,
it wasn't a butt, Elliot. There was a however. do we know the logistics, though, of a player that potentially makes that decision in terms of contractually? Are you contractually bound to play? I mean, morally, ethically, whatever, we can all agree that, hey, if you or I don't feel comfortable returning to the office and we can conduct our job from home, maybe our boss would still be open to us working from home. But if we don't feel comfortable going to an arena as a reporter, as a broadcaster, let alone as an athlete and competing on the ice or on the field or the court, whatever it may be, do we know the ramifications contractually of not honoring said deal and choosing to not play? Because that's kind of the next layer to all of this is, and again, I say to any job is, if you ultimately don't feel like it's safe for you to do so, or you don't feel comfortable doing so, is that at the risk of losing your employment, whatever your job may be?
It could be. I don't think we know the answer to these questions, but like from a playing point of view, I know that the league and the players are talking about it. You know, what happens if a player now, and I've been told, and the last time I checked was before the weekend, and I was told there was no answer to the question yet, but it's definitely being discussed. And I think that one of the ways they're going to sort this out, I think, in hockey, Eric, is they're going to say, they're going to go to people and they're going to ask them. And I think one of the other things that's going to happen is these teams are going to play with, like, they're going to have like 30 people on their rosters. Normally the NHL roster is 23, you know, in the playoffs, which is what this would be. There's no salary cap. The players aren't being paid specifically for the playoffs. That also gives everybody a little bit of an out. So it's not like somebody is violating the payment of their contract by not playing. So I think all of that they're going to work on. Like, when it comes to us, like, you know, Eric, like I've kind of thought about that. But, like, one of the things I look at it is, like, I've always looked at it, and we're all guys, like, we're pretty driven guys. Like, we know each other. We're pretty driven. You know, we all know that the moment you give someone in your business the chance to do something, you give them an opportunity, right? And I think that we always want to be good teammates. We always want to support our teammates. But ultimately, you also know that, you know, sometime that if you say no to something, does it give someone the opportunity to take your spot? And I think, like, I don't really look at it like that much anymore, but I would understand how other people could. I understand how somebody would say, if I don't come back to work, do I feel secure enough in my position that somebody couldn't take it from me? And I don't think that's just at Rogers. I think that's everywhere in life. And I have no doubt that people out there will make that decision based on how they feel secure-wise in their job. And it's reality. And, Eric, I think that's the choice a lot of people have to make, not just in sports.
Now, it does seem having the draft before the season, is it losing legs, or might they be adjusting the date? Is it the fact that all the teams that thought they would be in the lottery still want to be in the lottery? Why has that appeared to kind of slow down?
Well, I think there was a lot of pushback on it, Gordo. And I think that, you know, there's a kind of feeling that that's not going to work. I would be surprised if we had a June draft right now. I don't get the sense there's an announcement imminent one way or the other, but I don't get the sense that's going to happen right now. I think the second part of your question is a key part, is the lottery just going to be seven teams, or is the lottery going to still be, you know, 15 teams? I don't get the sense they have an answer to that yet. I think initially it was going to be the seven teams, but I heard some of those other teams complained and said, well, what if we can't finish the season? Shouldn't we still get our shot at the lottery? So I think they're trying to figure that out. I could see a situation where we have the lottery in June, but maybe the draft later. I think the biggest issue about the draft right now is, can they do it before next year's junior European NCAA seasons start? Is that possible? Because, like, for example, I don't think they want a situation where guys start next year in the CHL and they get drafted and then the teams pull them out. I don't think anybody wants that. So I do think they're looking at the possibility of a draft maybe in August or September before the juniors start. However, that leads to, could it happen during the playoffs? I don't know if they want that.
Elliot, I don't say this critically about the NHL. I would say the same thing about Major League Baseball or the NBA for that matter as well. Do you get a sense that whomever, whichever league it is, doesn't necessarily want to be first? They don't want to be the guinea pig? Like, is the NHL waiting for the NBA to make a decision so that they can kind of make, then go ahead and make theirs? Or are the NBA and the NHL waiting for Major League Baseball to kind of step up, you know, no pun intended, step up to the plate first, announce their season, announce their plans, kind of, you know, read the reaction and then go from there? Like, is there apprehension being that first league that makes the decision and knowing that you've, you know, dotted all your T's or dotted all your I's, crossed all your T's and got everything correct? You know, is that maybe why everybody is kind of stalling at this point?
Well, if that was a pun, that step up to the plate, it was a horrible pun. It was so bad that even McLean wouldn't use it. I don't think that's the thing. Like, I'm guessing, like, this is just me guessing, Eric, because I think we're all guessing right now.
Sure.
I think the NHL looks at the NBC Olympic window and says that's when they'd like to start playing by. Like, you know, I do think that is a factor. You know, NBC lost the Olympics in the last week of July, and I think they'd love to have NHL games around that time to pick up for when they lost it. And so that's, I think, kind of what we're looking at. Okay. Can it happen? I don't know, but I think that's when they'd like to do it. So that's kind of the clock and calendar that I work with. I don't think it depends on anybody else. I think they kind of look at it and say, can we do this? Yes, we'd like to do it. No, we'll see if what happens then. I think it's kind of like that's where you are. Look, like, you know, the fact that the Bundesliga started last weekend, that's kind of the template. I believe the NBA and the NHL had always looked at baseball was going to go first. I believe in North America, they felt that baseball was going to be the test case. But now you've got the Bundesliga starting. You can watch at it. You can see what happens. We know the Premier League is supposed to start, what, June 14th. You can watch and see what happens there. But these are going to be the first big indoor ones, Eric. And that comes with other challenges. You know, the NBA, you know, you can sit guys, you can lengthen your bench. You can sit guys in the stands. You can stretch guys out. We all know, like, the NHL is going to have unique challenges. It's going to be, are we going to have these guys play in full face shields? You can't really social distance on the bench. The coaches, you know, there's 12 coaches over 55. There's five, I think, over 60. You know, how do you feel about all that? You know, it's going to have some, and they're going to be in close proximity. You can't really spread them out. So I think that is all going to be discussions that they're going to have to deal with. But I believe that the NHL's calendar, they're going to try to do late July, and I think that's independent of everybody else.